Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me for another podcast. My name is Patty, and I'm at Herbs to Your Health, 106 South Pennsylvania Avenue, Greensburg. Our phone number is 724-836-7440. Our website is www.herbstoyourhealth.net. And do you know you can comment on the podcast? I receive the comments, and I just received a very lovely and wonderful comment. So that's one out of the seven listeners that I have. So the magnificent other six, please leave a comment or not. You don't have to. I recently read an article written by a female medical doctor. She actually said that perimenopause leads up to menopause, and it's like one day, then you're postmenopausal. So she was trying to make the case that, like, it's not a big deal, take hormone replacement therapy and you'll be good to go. Seriously, in 2023, we have known for since, I don't know, the 90s, the 80s maybe, that hormone replacement therapy is very, very bad for your heart, your bones, your brain. It causes cancer and heart disease. We have supplements to help women age with grace and vitality. There are lots of pauses in life. Melatonopause, the decline in melatonin begins at age 10. At age 70, you have like almost zero. You're bottomed out. Perimenopause, postmenopause, menopause, it's a time of transformation. You have disrupted sleep, maybe fatigue, maybe hair loss, headaches, heart palpitations, hearing loss, loss of balance, increase in urinary tract infections, not just hot flashes. And the women I've spoken to who took the hormone replacement therapy said, oh, it was just like I died and went to heaven. It was so wonderful. Well, it's doing very bad things for your body. So you can have emotional changes, anxiety, sadness, mood swings, mental changes, brain fog, memory loss, loss of concentration or focus, and spiritual changes. And this comes from a 1994 article in the Journal of the American Medical Association that said, quote, higher levels of spirituality are associated with fewer menopausal symptoms. End quote. Amen. To date, we had a very narrow vision of the endocrine system. So if you talk about perimenopause or menopause or postmenopause, understand that the endocrine system works together as a circuit. Literature says it's all about the glands, but guess what? The skin, the heart, and the liver are endocrine. It's not just the HPA axis, the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis. It's like the whole shebang. It's not just our hormones, but what interferes with them that causes health issues. There's a role of that the endocrine disrupting chemicals play. Huge role, I say, creates a toxic burden, and reducing that helps manage symptoms. The really easy stuff to eliminate is like alcohol, because there's no safe level of it. Aluminum cookware, if you're still using aluminum cookware, I don't know if it's recyclable or not, but you know, kind of get rid of that. And please don't put wrap things in aluminum foil like hot stuff. It leaches. Plastics, or, you know, if you heat plastic, if you put the food that you just made into a plastic container, the plastic leaches into the good food you just made. So don't do that. Of course, we don't consciously consume genetically modified organisms. But glyphosate and pesticides are present in most conventionally grown foods. Natural changes has been helpful to so many women. You can take DHEAF, or if you're a man, you can take DHEAM. That supports hormones, especially the DHEA, which by age 50, you only have 25% of what you had as a 25-year-old. So we need that too. Glutathione is, somebody asked me just recently, what the heck is it and why do I need it and where do I get it? And I see you don't have any bottles labeled glutathione. Well, it's in the body. It's a molecule that we make every day. It's a tripeptide, meaning it's made of three different peptides, cysteine, glycine, and glutamic acid. There's a sulfur molecule in there as well. We make glutathione in all of our cells every day, all the time. Glutathione wears multiple hats. It's best known for its role as the master antioxidant in the body. In this role, it neutralizes free radicals because they are unstable and they need an electron. It's like match.com. So they take them from the DNA or wherever. If we had no way to counteract free radicals, we would age very quickly and have lots of diseases. Perhaps you know someone who that is happening to. I'd say they need a lot more than glutathione at that point, though. Antioxidants lend an electron, actually they give it, to the free radicals, thereby quenching them, their thirst for electrons. Glutathione also helps out other antioxidants. It's like your best friend who lends you money all the time. It recycles vitamin C, vitamin E, CoQ10, and other free radical scavengers. By doing that, it prevents a lot of diseases and helps us delay aging, also known as looking ghastly. Glutathione is well known for detoxification because as humans living on the planet in 2023, we're eating, drinking, touching, breathing many different toxins. Not to mention, if you think worrisome thoughts, that is the biggest producer of toxins in your body. Glutathione grabs onto them. Well, it's not going to grab onto the negative thoughts. You have to do that yourself because who controls your thoughts? You do. And most of the action of glutathione happens in the liver. Well, not most. A lot of it, I should say. And glutathione neutralizes the toxins and takes them out of the body. Toxins like pesticides, persistent organic pollutants, or POPs, heavy metals, you name it, glutathione removes it. Glutathione plays a huge role in immunity, not only by preventing, but also increasing proliferation of immune system cells. Like natural killer cells, glutathione is an amazing molecule. So if you're deficient, you might have brain issues, damage to your arteries, your cardiovascular system. You could have arthritis. If your body cannot repair, you're at higher risk for all these so-called diseases of aging and inflammation or inflammaging. Like diabetes, cancer, autoimmune, you're more susceptible to whatever the current flu or cold or COVID going around. Actually, somebody came in here and literally asked me what to do about the, wrote it down, had a little teeny tiny slip of paper, you know, looked like ripped off a piece of paper, a corner, and named the COVID variant that's going around and what do we have for it. You know, when someone asks you a question and you see a flash of red in front of your eyes and you know what's going to come out of your mouth is not going to be good. Well, yeah, I erased that. And I said, honestly, it doesn't matter what the specific variant is. flu bugs, viruses, whatever you want to call them, they mutate. That's what they do. That's just what they do. So you support your immune system so it can recognize it no matter what it is and eliminate it. Silver Shield is like giving your body a second immune system, but I digress. Glutathione has a high concentration in the liver and the lungs. Kind of makes sense because we're breathing in microbes. The body is highly, highly intelligent, more intelligent than we can even imagine. So if you're breathing in viruses, like, you know, somebody coughs on you or sneezes on you or they have it, something, it causes some inflammation, but very quickly it needs to be reversed. So the higher amount of glutathione in the lungs, the less likely it'll be that you are subjected to the cytokine storm. So if you don't have enough glutathione, then you can get sepsis, organ failure, and death. Elderly people, and yes, 73 is not elderly, have low glutathione levels, so they can't keep that cytokine storm in check. This just totally makes a case for taking your supplement program every day. So, and not using supplements as symptom relief. Somebody called me this morning and said, "Do you have such and such?" We were out of it, so I said that. And then here comes the story of why I need this. And it's just using, it's allopathic herbalism. I don't believe in allopathic herbalism, like a pill for an ill, or instead of taking some kind of drug, you take a supplement. Nah, just take your program every day. And if you need extra of something, take extra of something. So glutathione, final thoughts. It's a bulky molecule, so it's not very well absorbed. How do you make it more absorbable? You take N-acetylcysteine, the precursor to glutathione. Help your body. Or milk thistle combination. It is absorbed very well. And or you could take MSM. That's good too. Okay. I was talking to a 70-year-old man whose mother is 93. And he said, "I guess I'm stuck with her genes." No, you kind of have your own. 8% is genetic, 92% is lifestyle. So I say curb the victim mentality. You know, don't be a victim. When it comes to DNA, it takes millennia for a meaningful change to take hold throughout a species. DNA methylation, on the other hand, can create changes to your genetic expression quickly, so quickly as to be almost instantaneous, especially when compared to the glacial pace of evolution. Methylation is happening in every cell of the body all the time. Your body is constantly deciding where to lay down and where to remove methyl groups from DNA based on what you're experiencing. Like, are you getting a decent night's sleep? Are you opting for a healthy snack instead of a bag of chips, potato chips? Are you doing some movement or doing an activity you love? Or meditating? These all can have beneficial effects that can show up in just a couple of hours. When you consciously make these choices over and over again, for a long time, you know, stay in the now moment, making good choices, and then when you look back, you say, "Holy cow, I've been doing this for 40 years. That's congratulations, self. So if you do that, you can regain, likely, the DNA methylation patterns of a younger you. Conversely, if you don't pay attention to what you eat or take steps to mitigate the toxins or stress you're exposed to, you speed up the pace at which your DNA methylation gets disordered. One study found that short periods of exposure to air tainted with particulate matter from car traffic caused noticeable epigenetic changes on genes that govern immune cells. There were bigger impacts with longer exposures of 4 and 7 days, but noticeable changes after only 4 hours. Whatever epigenetic changes you experience, positive or negative, they become lasting because some of your cells are replicating through division all the time. Not all of them all the time, some of them all the time. So your DNA will create a new copy of itself. So there's a new strand as well as the original strand. The more you make changes, positive changes, to your epigenome, the more cells adopt these changes. This is how something you're exposed to today can create changes to your DNA methylation patterns and genetic expression that last inside your cells and can even be passed down to future generations of offspring. So one epigeneticist, Lucia Aronica, thinks that people with chronic disease and accelerated aging might need to stick with epigenetic nourishing activities over a longer time frame to create lasting beneficial changes than people who don't have chronic diseases because their epigenomes may be more resistant to change. So people with health challenges can perhaps reverse their biological age more significantly than healthy peers, but it might take longer. The caveat is, in my observation, who is willing to make changes? You might as well make the changes when you're young and then just keep on doing them. In as much as we are creatures of habit and patterns, the choices we make every day over a sustained period of time impact our long-term health and even the health of our offspring very significantly. Okay, kind of, I could talk more about that, but I better move on where I could talk more about it. The only seafood I eat is seaweed. It's a seafood. It's just not an animal flesh. Seaweed is a powerful detoxifier that can help rid the body of toxic dioxins, kind of like those released near the train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, or are produced in the products containing Splenda or sucralose. Splenda, let's see, are those the blue packets or the yellow packets? I'm not sure. But when you see somebody put 4 of them in a cup of coffee and then have 4 cups of coffee, so yeah, quick math, that's a lot of dioxins going in your body. Seaweed has been valued for food and medicine since ancient times. At the archaeological site Monteverde in southern Chile, remains of 9 species of seaweed dated between 14,220 and 13,980 years ago were found, suggesting the marine plants were an important resource for the people. Rich in minerals and iodine, as well as providing meaningful amounts of essential amino acids, B vitamins, fiber, and vitamin C, seaweed is a nutrient-dense food that can quickly boost your daily nutritional intake. Its detoxifying properties are most relevant today. And even though that train derailment was, 6 months ago, it's the persistent organic pollutant. Pop, dioxins. persistent organic pollutant. Did I just say that? Yeah. Because they persist in the environment and resist breaking down. Dioxins are known to cause cancer, developmental problems, immune system damage, and hormone disruption. I don't believe the EPA saying, you know, it's safe, everything's safe, you're safe. I don't believe them. You know, we just have to kind of take matters into our own hands. So it's a kind of a simple way to detoxify. Dioxins are no longer produced in the United States, but they still exist in the environment. Rachel Carson in 1970, I think it was, or the 70s, in her book Silent Spring, talked about the stuff that just kind of never goes away. It's dioxins were released decades ago, and they're still here. They're forever chemicals. They accumulate in food chains. More than 90% of exposure is believed to be coming from consuming animal flesh, animal fats, meat and dairy products, along with fish and shellfish. So if you eat organically, I don't think you're getting them. Can't be sure about that, but that's what I think. Additionally, eat seaweed every single day. Or here's what you could do. Take super algae. Some of the other things that are very helpful for detoxification: flavonoids, onions, broccoli, tygo, super orac, curcumin, cabbage, kale, spinach. You could take kelp, Target TS2, thyroid activator, and that's the kind of seafood that I eat. It's called seaweed, algae. Final story from people is a woman who came in, I want to say like 12 years ago. She said that PPIs, proton pump inhibitors, the little purple pill, whatever, were miraculous. Until she got nasty effects, she said she wanted to nominate the person who invented them for a Nobel Prize. And then she got these very nasty effects. So then she came in, got on a program, stayed on the program, oddly enough, and came back in recently and said, "I feel wonderful. Please tell people don't take those. They're nasty." So what are they? Prilosec. They're proton pump inhibitors used to treat heartburn, stomach ulcers, and gastroesophageal reflux disease, or GERD. There's Prevacid, Protonix. You know, when people used to tell me, I would say, "Do you take a probiotic?" "Oh, I take Protonix." Kind of, it sounds the same. Similarly, anyway, it's not even close. Nexium, and they're prescribed to reduce stomach acid in a misguided attempt to relieve heartburn. Are you ready for this? An estimated 113 million prescriptions are filled every year, but 70% of people taking them shouldn't be, because it's not that you have too much acid, it's that you have too little. P.S., they were only supposed to be taken for a short period of time. Using them long-term can be habit-forming and dangerous. They're commonly prescribed to hospital patients who often continue taking them after being discharged with no planned stopping point. In fact, 80% of patients are inappropriately prescribed a PPI at discharge. The consequences can be dire because they are associated with a number of adverse effects, including osteoporosis and related fractures, pneumonia, C. diff, ulcerative colitis, regular colitis, cardiovascular morbidity, and hypomagnesemia. Easy for me to say. Hypomagnesemia, or low magnesium levels. Let's just call it that. If you take them for more than 2 years, you risk vitamin B12 deficiency. Because what are the chances that the person who is taking this is taking vitamin B12, the liquid? They cause more harm than good because excess stomach acid is rarely the trigger of heartburn and indigestion. On the contrary, heartburn is an indicator you have too little hydrochloric acid, which means if you add a PPI medication, you're only going to exacerbate the problem by decreasing your acid levels even more. Because hydrochloric acid and pepsin are necessary to break down protein in your intestinal tract, reduced acid levels affect your body's ability to absorb nutrients. Without adequate protein breakdown, you also increase your risk of dysbiosis, an imbalance in gut microbiome between harmful and friendly bacteria. Then as these undigested protein molecules ferment in your intestines, ick, they become food for pathogens like Candida, C. diff, H. pylori. If you're currently taking PPIs, proton pump inhibitors, like I named them earlier, you can develop both tolerance to and dependence on them. As explained by a physician, the treatment itself may also predispose patients to a need for ongoing therapy. By suppressing acid, PPI stimulate the body's feedback loop that tries to reactivate acid secretion. Why are we harming our bodies like that? So we increase our stomach acid naturally. You know, we can take GastroHealth comes to mind. Deglycerinated licorice is a wonderful thing. Licorice is also a wonderful thing. People say, yeah, I can't take that. It raises my blood pressure. I don't know. That was a thing going around in the 80s. People kind of hung on to that. But anyway, you don't have to worry about taking GastroHealth. It has deglycerinated licorice. It helps block inflammatory prostaglandins. It protects gastric mucosa and relieves GERD symptoms. They also say that it can affect your adrenal glands. I say licorice root is wonderful for adrenal glands. The amino acid glutamine addresses gastrointestinal damage caused by H. pylori. And slippery elm, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention food enzymes, proactazyme, PDA, protein digestive aid. Adverse effects of PPIs, this was in a 2021 study, B12 deficiency, central nervous system, headache, I already said pneumonia, but heart attacks and strokes, nausea, vomiting, abdominal pain, constipation, acute kidney injury, chronic kidney disease, liver cancer, infections like I said C. diff already, hip fracture, osteoporosis, myopathy, iron deficiency, low calcium, low magnesium, and then it causes causes dementia. So if you know somebody who has been taking the purple pill since the 80s or 90s and now they can't remember anything, could be the cause. And just some parting thoughts. Life is a roller coaster filled with highs and lows, and it's natural to experience moments of unhappiness. It's essential to recognize when these moments turn into prolonged habits. I, like many others, have faced my share of hardships and challenges, but through it all, I've learned that emotional well-being directly impacts physical health. So usually I'm talking about the habits of successful people, of positive people. I would like to share with you today 8 habits of unhappy people that can harm your body, mind, and spirit. First of all, being overly critical. It's either self-criticism or criticizing others, bad. Regretting the past, you know, dwelling on past mistakes. And I've asked people about this, you know, I'm like, do you think that person really remembers that? And if you think they do, go ask them, because they're going to say, what? No, I don't remember anything about that. So dwelling on past mistakes can increase your stress levels. Get whatever you needed to learn from it. Let it go and stay in the now moment. Likewise, worrying about the future, constantly stressing about what's going to come, can prevent you from staying in the now moment. Totally, it does. How about fixating on perfection? Striving for an unattainable ideal can hinder progress and happiness. Chronic complaining, which can trap you in a cycle of negativity, living in a negativity echo chamber, surrounding yourself with constant negativity, that's very depressing. Comparing yourself to others, we don't ever compare. So this can damage your self-worth. Or like young women in their, I don't know, 30s, 40s, they say, I thought I would have been doing better by now, or I thought I would have had this, and that. Yeah, no. It is what it is. And the final habit of an unhappy person is eating poorly. So it's really just not about feelings. Psychological stress can lead to bone loss. So it's very interconnected. And when people say, well, I was very unhappy, so I had to eat some bad candy bars. Whatever you do, don't eat bad candy bars. They're filled with toxins. If you want to eat some good chocolate, have at it. Just as food can be the problem, it can also be the solution. And remember that fixating on perfection, we don't need to be perfect to improve. Little changes make for meaningful progress. Practice makes progress. It's the 80-20 rule. Consistent healthy habits and lifestyle changes, positive lifestyle changes, I should say, will do wonders to add life to your years and years to your life. And I wish you all a wonderful holiday weekend. Hopefully I will be back next Saturday. Bye.